Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce. Welcome back to me. I'm joined by Rob and Chris. We will get through the rest of the month of October of 2006. That includes Cyber Sunday. The second to last Cyber Sunday, I believe. Or did they do this in 08?
I think there's one in 2008.
Yeah, there's it's 07 right. And 08. I don't think there's one in 09. I think it stopped in 09 because I'm pretty sure 09 was when Hell in a Cell debuted because I went to the first one in Newark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God they ended Cyber Sunday. But yeah. Like, you just got another clunker. So we'll do that. We'll get to that. But before we talk about Cyber Sunday, we have to talk about another craptastic pay-per-view or special event, network specials. What's the terminology for this now?
Premium live events.
I'm calling it a pay-per-view. Crown Jewel was this past Saturday in Saudi Arabia. Lots of worry. Will they get this show in? There's threats of terrorism. They got out. They got in. Thank God. I did not watch the bulk of this show. I know I was being a boyfriend. So I'll go back and watch the tag team matches. Her tag team matches were excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
what did you guys think of the show as a whole? We'll talk about the two big main event matches, the championship matches on SmackDown or Raw on SmackDown. But the show as a whole, since you guys caught the bulk of it, how did you guys feel about it?
I mean, it wasn't bad, I don't think. Like, there were some low points that I kind of expected to be low points. Like, I don't really remember much of, the Usos and the Brawling Brutes. I'm sure it was very good. I didn't like Drew and Cross very much, but everything else was at least, or the six-man, I don't really remember a ton of either, but like everything else I thought was pretty entertaining. I know some people didn't like Brock and Lashley, but I thought, having Brock sell for pretty much the whole match was a nice touch. The finish was a little weird, but keeps it open for a third one. And, you do Hell in a Cell or Fight Pit or something with those two, since they both won one time now. Even Braun and Omos, they went a little longer than I would have liked them to, but I thought they did really well with what they could. Yeah, obviously, we'll go more in depth with the two main events, but yeah, I don't think it was bad. I think it was a really entertaining show. A little too long, but other than that, yeah, not bad.
Well, when you say it's obviously a little too long, this is the biggest match card that they've had since Mania.
Yeah. Because
all the other shows have been like at a cap of like six or seven matches.
This was how long the show? 3:30?
This was eight matches. It was about 3.5 hours, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think it kind of ended right around 2:30-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's still better than, 2019 when every show was 4 hours and the big four were, 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very rare that they come close to the 4 hour mark now. So that's good.
As far as my thoughts on the whole, I thought it was a well put together show. I thought it was well rounded. For a show that, they were definitely pacing themselves in terms of announcing this card.
Yeah.
Even up till the buzzer. because mm-hmm. there were a couple matches obviously added right at the end, including the women's tag title match.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought for what they offered and for what they had to do, this show was key on definitely hitting on the main events and, you know, getting the bulk of it right. And I can't really look at a single decision on this show and say, oh, that was a bad one. I could say that I would have done something maybe differently, but either way,
yeah,
I come away with this not really questioning any decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I would have liked Alexa and Oscar to retain, but I understand what they're doing, and you know, it was cool that they won the titles in the first place. Like,
yeah,
you know, so stuff like that. Yeah, but overall, like, I think it was fine. You know, Drew and Cross, the finish was kind of stupid, but I wasn't gonna care.
They did what they had to
do. I wasn't gonna care about the match anyway, and it was probably better than I think it was better than the Extreme Rules match. I'll give them that much.
But. Well, it was a strap match.
Yeah.
But that's my point. This match would have been better served, I think, a month ago,
mm-hmm.
where you have a match where neither gets pinned versus what happened at Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
They kind of did that one out of order, but either way.
I agree.
Either way.
But yeah, no, overall, like, a pretty entertaining show. And yeah, I think the two kind of co-main events really delivered. And that's what you're looking for with these sorts of shows.
Yeah, real quick, I have not seen it, but I will say, just reading the synopsis of this match, someone actually winning by escaping the cage. I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the
last, and it probably hasn't been since then, but the last memorable escaping the cage that I can remember was the time that Kofi dove through the ropes at Stomping Grounds against Dolph when yeah. he won via escape of the cage that way.
Mm-hmm.
A creative way of doing so, I might add. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've done a couple, like, guy gets speared through the cage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Never like a traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a traditional way. Even like just like climbing over the cage mm-hmm. and landing down in that fashion. It does feel like it's been a long time.
The tension of the escape from the cage is like.
Yes.
Desperately been missed. From steel mm-hmm. cage
yes,
matches, since
I agree.
Vince has just really loved having to be pinfall submission inside the cage, you know, to yeah. get that tension. Obviously, I didn't watch it, so I can't say whether it was shit or not. I assume it's shit because it's Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I will say we need more of that. I'm glad Trips is doing that.
Yeah, they definitely brought it home.
Yeah,
you mentioned the women's tag team match and the titles flip back over to Damage Control. They're doing a lot of weird stuff with Alexa and possibly reuniting with Bray. I know Bray came out at the event and he said he didn't like who he was. I'm guessing that was about The Fiend and he wanted to rewrite a story and then, you know,
yeah.
kind of pulling that back.
Yeah.
Y'all see that going.
I don't know where it's going because no one's targeted him yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of, they're giving him the canvas to work with, but it's like, all right, it's been a month. It's fine. If we're still having this conversation in December where he's still not anywhere, might need to piss or get off the pot just a little bit. Just start something.
Well, that's the problem you run start into is something. That he's not very good at wrestling. So.
Well, I don't care. It's,
yeah, it's
because
not necessarily
if he's,
about the wrestling at this
if
point.
He's feuding like, with somebody.
Do something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
if he's feuding with somebody, then that's good. If some action happens, that's
well,
good.
Well, he's feuding with himself.
But I understand that he's feuding with himself. The problem is that doesn't – when it comes down to the time of, okay, there needs to be a match to settle business.
Oh, yeah.
You can't wrestle yourself.
No, I agree.
Unless you do some sort of cinematic stuff, which if they want to keep him away from that, go for it. But also, it's tough to buy it unless he's interacting with the world. Right now, he's just himself. It's really hard to...
Yeah, again, you know...
It's hard to forecast anything, but what I will say is that as of right now, I don't forecast anyone active, man or woman, joining him
mm-hmm.
just because they're going so slow with it that I can't really forecast anything.
See,
yeah, I think
like
they're probably just...
They're trying to
I think they're probably... Yeah. Yeah, I think that... And I think that they're definitely looking into... playing off the base and continuity and stuff like that and things that people have said. That's why they keep teasing Liv because everyone desperately wanted her to be around Bray in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Alexa stuff obviously makes sense to remind people that they had a partnership at one time.
Yeah,
I don't think that's coming together. I don't think either is coming together, for the record. But, you know, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's interesting. Like, I could see Alexa going back with him, I guess, but also she could, you know, turn on Asuka and join back up with Nikki. That seemed to be something that maybe they're
looking also, to. But also, that, she could just... But here's the problem with her going to SmackDown is where she's going to fit.
No, I agree. And that's why, you know, it probably makes more sense for her to stay on Raw.
Yeah.
Honestly. I just don't know. Because I think after War Games, this Bianca and Alexa and Asuka thing is probably done. You know. Probably so, should be. But you can have, I mean, Alexa and Asuka could just feud and that'd be really fun. So
they never really have.
Yeah, exactly. So like you have options. I would, you know, prefer it not be her going back with Bray, but you know, we'll see. I mean, the other thing is, you know, after Survivor Series, they don't have another pay-per-view till the Rumble. So they're going to have a lot of time to kind of build stuff and make TV important.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to it kind of overall. I just wish, you know, Bray came back. He had the really cool, you know, re-debut at Extreme Rules. And then on that first SmackDown, kind of cut a different promo than we're used to. And then the past 3 weeks, just the same stuff he was doing before he left. So it doesn't really work for me. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Let's get into the main events. It was last woman standing for the Raw Women's Championship. I feel like this really should have been Bianca's win. I understand if it, you know, folks would have rather seen Bayley get it by any means necessary. But for me, I just hold on this standard. It means more if Bayley gets a 1-2-3 on Bianca. Not
it does.
By winning by smarmy means. And I guess like that's the heel way to do it. This is just me. Bayley being gone for so long. And then also, like, having had that reign that she had, as long as it was, as established as she was, I'm not really feeling this weird, edgy type win, you know? I would rather see her get a pinfall victory on Bianca, and I don't think it would hurt Bianca if she lost to a person like Bayley. So we move, and it's going to be at least... I'm going to assume it's going to be at least till after Survivor Series, maybe December when she gets that belt. But, you know, I'm fine with the long play here.
See, from my perspective, first of all, this was an amazing match.
Really?
This was one of the best last woman standing, last man standing matches that they've ever done. This is probably, I thought about this. It's high praise, a lot of company, I guess. It's Bayley's best main roster match ever.
Yeah.
The only thing that comes close to it, in my opinion, is her face title win in 2017 in Vegas on Raw against Charlotte. Besides the fatal four-way at Mania that ensuing March, or April, I should say, she's never had a spectacle stadium match. The only time she ever worked a stadium after that was WrestleMania 35. Let's move on from talking about that right now. So she's never it's not so much I'm not crying poor for her, but the opportunities and the stars just haven't aligned for her. They did, and they made the most of it. That was fantastic, creative, innovative. When Bayley got onto the barricade after sending Bianca up, I'm like, oh. This is something she's probably wanted to do since she was like 10 and she was a Hardy Boys fan. She's going to run on the barricade and jump on her. And she did.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The stuff with the crate, the stuff with the cart, all fun. As far as the decision goes, like you said, Pierce, pinning should matter here. And they're making that matter because that's the crux of the story. Bayley's pinned her twice. And even though Bianca's gotten her twice, she's still hanging that over her head. So when they eventually do decide to wrap it up, if Bianca gets the pin on her, okay, that's fine. She already pinned her twice, but that's what they're making this about, pinning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I thought, you know, just kind of, I didn't really know who's going to win going into it. I kind of thought Bayley won's damage control won in the, you know, earlier match. But overall, I was just looking for a good match because, you know, last person standing matches, we kind of bring it up every time they have one. Like, it's a hard match to do because, you know, there is so much downtime when you're waiting and the counts are happening and all that. And, you know, you got to be really good at filling those gaps. I think they both did a really good job with it. I thought the finish was pretty cool and creative and, you know, they got physical. And I do agree that it was probably Bayley's best main roster match. And yeah, I enjoyed it a bunch. Like I think, And it's not even like, oh, Bianca's title reign is stale or whatever. I just think, you know, it's been on a long time. There wouldn't be, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to flip the title, but, you know, whatever.
You know what it is? It's just not time. We're looking through that right now. We're about to look through that right now with Cena, right? He's starting this year-long title reign where he establishes himself as the guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to transfer the title, I think the comparisons are very easy to make right now, and it's almost eerie. Bayley is essentially Edge to Bianca Cena right now.
Yeah.
And the transitional, we know about the transitional champ label for Edge or whatever for a while,
mm-hmm.
even if it was just mostly just through kayfabe. I don't mind her not getting that designation because she would only hold the title for like 2 months. And that's fine, but it's also like, it's so, I don't want to keep doing this all the gold stuff either.
Yeah,
that's my other hangup. That's why I'm not necessarily mad that she didn't win the title. It's like, I've seen that already. We're seeing that already right now. In fact, with the Bloodline,
mm-hmm.
we just also saw it with Toxic Attraction. We just also saw it with Bayley and Sasha 2 years ago, and everybody else had an uproar about that.
Yeah,
and how they did that or whatever. So I feel like in that case, I don't mind that they keep not getting all of it, because it's just going to keep driving them mad, and it's going to keep getting them pissed off. Just like now they have Nikki Cross as their little battering ram.
Mm-hmm.
Their little, you know, we're going to send her in this direction, and she's going to go and destroy everybody.
Yeah.
But she's also a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
She's also how that'll eat some L's.
Yeah.
From first pitches and first.
And it's but I don't actually think, and I know people have been suggesting this, I don't actually think that she's going to be with Damage Control for a long time. I think she's only going to be with Damage Control for the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's just somebody who they're using as a weapon.
Yeah.
Which as a mercenary basically, and I don't think they're done loading up on mercenaries for the record. I think they're going to probably get Rhea or even the SmackDown champ on
the fifth person.
Yeah, Rhea could be the fifth person. I think Ronda could be the fifth person. I need to see what they're doing with SmackDown, because right now it looks like, and I think this is an accomplishment for them, it looks like there's going to be about 10 women in that War Games match, and all of them are going to be for one brand. So whatever SmackDown has to offer will be interesting to me and perhaps me only.
Well, they haven't announced anything for the men's side, have they yet, right?
No.
No, they have not.
I would assume they've only basically SmackDown skewered.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Probably match. Bloodline against Brawling Brutes, and maybe they add the New Day. Two Raw guys, whatever.
Well, even then, I think you could probably think like KO or something, but we can rule out Lashley now
mm-hmm.
after what happened Monday. We can probably rule out Seth as well. Maybe Seth. I don't know, actually.
Like, if you want to
see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because if you want to load it up, you could do, you know, Owens and then like bring in Brock as a mercenary or whatever.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You also might want to keep Brock away from Roman for a little bit.
So. I think Owens makes a lot of sense for that spot, especially with Sammy being in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering you could do a War Games advantage match between Owens and Zayn, and that will obviously mm-hmm. kick ass.
Yeah.
That's true. So that would be a lot of fun. I think it'll really depend on, because they're doing this World Cup thing now. Right.
Yeah,
so they're starting
out like who's in the World Cup and what to do with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's still a lot of moving pieces. Yeah, it's
the way that I look at like where War Games is going right now. It sucks. They have two W things going on: World Cup and War Games.
Yeah.
with War Games happening, like I'm seeing more. They're going to leave Raw to the women, SmackDown to the men. And so if
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing, you know, where Raw's going right now, you already got four women on the Raw side. They'll probably, you know, throw in somebody that can lose. Just throwing anybody. I guess it doesn't matter. You know, anybody that's not really touching. Because that match, you have to. That's a match that Damage Control is either going to come out on top or Bayley's going to be the one to win at the end of the day. And I don't think it really matters once you get past Bianca, Alexa, Asuka. Who else you throw in for the women? We can cross out Mia Yim. Mia Yim's back. She's gonna be doing everything with Rhea and the OC and Judgment mm-hmm. Day. So you know, just pick your poison. You know, hey, I know two women that you could throw in that match that ain't doing shit right now. If it was just a matter of if they want to come back to work, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liv could easily be a candidate if they decide to pull from SmackDown, especially since she's been, you know, eating a lot of violence and whatnot. Shout out to her for taking a superplex on some chairs and actually kicking out. She's becoming a star.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty rad. I feel like I'm the only person on the planet that's a Bayley fan that really just is so ambivalent to her winning and losing. I don't need to, at this point, I don't need to see her with a title to validate her to me or myself or to anyone else, because I know that she's a walking Hall of Famer anyway. And I don't understand a lot of the discourse. In fact, I don't understand about 99% of it, because I think that people are just like really latching onto this title or bust thing. And I just don't think that that's something that a lot of people who watch the show and how they consume it differently really care about that much, especially for established players like herself.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair.
Because it makes it seem like if you're going to just give up on her, or if you think that everything is over, that you're just, I just don't think that you're giving her enough credit.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because she can get over just fine. She's been, you know, doing just fine now, or even good or great, while not having a championship the last 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And while she didn't have a title from October or whatever, through the Bianca stuff, that wasn't a title feud. Bianca and Bayley wasn't a title feud at first.
That's true.
When they did the obstacle course, she didn't have a title.
Mm-hmm.
That was arguably better than Sasha and Carmella at the time. So as a Bayley fan, I really am just happy that she's here.
Yeah.
Because the year without her sucked. I have to admit, it was bad.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, you're not wrong. And
yeah.
Again, I think she just...
putting things into perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then that's just me personally. I just can't really attach myself and make every match of hers feel like it's game 7 of the World Series, where if she loses, it's over and everything is always awful. It's just like, if they hit on the big moments, which they are in the big matches, it means a lot more than week-to-week stuff.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Roman versus Logan Paul.
I was going to say, speaking of World Series, very glad that I went to game 3 and not game 4.
Yeah.
That was game 3 and not game 4. let's talk about that main event. Logan Paul against Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Championship. So I watched the first match with the Brock and Bobby, and then I peeled off because I'm just like, I can come back to this. Me and my girl is in the middle of a Game of Thrones marathon. But we're turning back for the main event because my girl's obviously a big Roman Reigns fan. She, you know, all I got to do is put Roman Reigns on television and she's locked in, paying attention, zoned into everything Roman. And we're sitting there watching this Roman and Logan Paul match, 24-50, Jesus Christ. We're sitting there watching this match, and maybe like halfway through, once Logan starts to... clear off the table, get the selfie, and then do the selfie jump through the table. I just mm-hmm. want to like look, because we're both kind of like watching, but then also like doing work. I was working on Saturday from home. She was, you know, on the computer kind of doing work shit herself. So I just peeled over, and I'm looking at her, and she's watching, but she's just like, got this biggest why the fuck is he on my television screen face that I've seen. And that's how I knew that I'm out the game forever, because she has the same disgust watching Logan Paul even when Roman Reigns is on her television screen. She is so disgusted by Logan Paul that she cannot enjoy this Roman Reigns match. If folks would sit here and say that, you know, it was a good match, Logan Paul did his thing, Logan Paul is athletic and he's gutsy and he tore his MCL, ACL, PCL, everything, meniscus. He's basically got Derrick Rose knees times that. And that's cool. I just didn't care for it. And not even just because Logan Paul's there, you add on the fact that his rapist brother's there.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, like, I'm kind of good on Roman Reigns' matches where the only thing that matters to me is Roman talking shit during the match, right? Like, it's cool when it's the Usos. I, you know, you can get it past me within that. But if it's that's also, all it's, you're giving it's, me, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's tough too. Like in the, you know, Thunderdome and stuff, it worked because, you know, you couldn't hear anything. So, but like when they do it now, there's still crowd noise and stuff. And like it's mic'd well, but like, you know, he did a lot in the Cena match at SummerSlam. And I know we were all there. We didn't hear any of that. Like, so yeah, they probably could stand to stop doing that.
More or less, if you don't do, or at least like, you know, if you don't do it, like, I don't really give a shit about these no name YouTubers, bro.
That's true.
Don't care. Don't care. But then also, like, but it's not even like just me railing on that. It's just like from a Roman Reigns perspective, this wasn't even like, I'm not putting up this up against Roman's better performances of a championship reign. It's just there. So for me, it was just it's a match that exists. It's a match that will exist in the test of time. Logan Paul will stick around. Yay, good for him. I am very glad they did this in Saudi and that they wasted the main event in Saudi on this and not an actual main event, like Survivor Series or Royal Rumble or some shit. So, hey, if y'all were satisfied, if the folks were satisfied, don't really matter what I think.
Yeah, I actually liked it quite a bit. You know, I thought like it was a little too long. I think it probably could have benefited from being, you know, a few minutes shorter because not all of Roman's title offenses need to be,
they did,
you know,
a 25 lot minutes or whatever. The end there. Holy shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I thought Logan Paul doing the buckshot lariat was very cool. He executed it very well. You know, the jump from the top through the table.
He's
was
got
cool.
Good timing. Like, he's working with. What did he say?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
was the buckshot lariat where you hurt himself?
It didn't really look like it because he kept going. So I don't know where exactly he hurt himself. I was
maybe
surprised
he hurt himself
to see
on
it.
On the jump off the top rope.
I don't.
Who has he been training with? Has it been Sean, Hurricane?
I think Drew.
Yeah, Sean. Drew Gulak as well is down there, yeah.
Yeah. They're doing a good job of just like accentuating his positives because he's got real good timing. Like he understands the entertainment aspect of the and how to get his timing off. Like the Buckshot Larry was good. I thought he had good timing on the aforementioned jump outside with the selfie stick. You know, that's never been my issue with Logan Paul. Like he's an athletic dude. He's what, like 6'4", 200. Something like that,
yeah,
or around that. So, like, his athleticism helps him in that regard. And if you can have him out here doing that, then yeah, he's gonna look good in the ring. Still don't know why they gave him a championship match, but whatever.
That's fair. I mean,
that is no. Logan Paul getting a championship match in 2022 is the Jeff Saturday becoming the head coach of the Indiana Colts of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
If I'm what's my man, Apollo Crews, I am fucking pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, we bring it up every time that it happens, but, like, it's cool that the celebrity matches are so much different than they used to be, where they're genuinely, you know, training and invested in all that now. I saw someone say that they should do Logan Paul against Bad Bunny. That'd be a bad idea, because neither is, you know, like, an actual wrestler who can carry a match, so they shouldn't do that, but...
I should do that, no.
But, like, if you do, I don't know, because, like, people have tossed around, too, like, they should do Logan and Jake Paul against the Usos, which, in theory, yeah, I guess, but, like, probably not for the tag titles.
No.
Which, by the way, like, I'll give Jake Paul some credit because you saw them fake punches. You know his real punches aren't fake after seeing his fake punches.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not.
Shane McMahon out there.
He was. He was. But yeah, I mean, the match itself was good. I'm looking forward. I think, you know, I've said in the past, I don't know if Roman's going to be in War Games and out 5 games in that context. And then, you know, really interested in seeing who he faces at the Rumble, or, you know, maybe they have a different path they could take. I know you suggested that at some point in the past couple months. And, you know, it's pretty clear that they want to split the titles back up. And there's really a delicate way that you're going to have to do it. So, yeah, kind of interested in seeing how they get to that point.
Yeah, I think that either option, I think that would make, I guess, a lot of sense is to do it where either you have a title be on the line at the Rumble, or you simply put Roman to the test and make him defend it twice. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know that you'd be like, oh, well, he has to be in an event twice. Well, okay.
He should. He's the biggest.
I understand, like, you know, I'm obviously very progressive and I'm obviously very endorsing of the women's division and whatnot.
The women don't have they don't have to main event every year. They main event this year.
Well, hold on. Because if it's Becky Ronda, that will give it chase. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That will give it chase. That'll give it legitimate chase. But Roman is the greatest champion of this entire generation.
Yeah.
On the longest reign that anyone's been on since the 1980s. It's a special circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So I can level with it. That's fine. Especially if you bring heavy hitters into the picture there for him to defend.
So here's the thing. I have an idea for you.
Shoot.
What if they pulled a Bret Hart this WrestleMania?
Ooh.
Let's say Cody wins the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Feels
like somebody that has a legitimate claim to giving Roman a run for his money, Drew maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say Drew, just to have somebody.
All right,
you do first night, Roman, Drew, main event, Cody and Seth in a blow-off. They have a war. Maybe Seth finally gets his win back. And then night two, you do Roman, who comes with, oh, obviously Roman's going to be Drew. Oh, fuck Drew. Roman and Cody, night two. I'd be fine with that. I would be very satisfied with that. If that was a possibility. But I'm just throwing
that. No, that's fair. And I mean, listen, you can do, if you have him also face Cody, you can still do the Rock match too. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could do theoretically both of them.
I know everyone says, oh, the Rock match doesn't have to be for the title. And
Yes, it does. If the Rock versus John Cena inevitably had to be for the title, so does this.
I don't think it has to be, but I think it. But all, like, you need, you can't.
We're doing the storyline, like for the head of the kingdom, the chief of the kingdom. And hey, by the way, we don't necessarily have to do that match in Hollywood. We don't have to do that in LA anymore. Why? Because WrestleMania 40 is in Philadelphia. Guess where The Rock went to high school at? Outside of Philadelphia.
That's true.
Very true.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, you know, if we're talking about, oh, it's a homecoming for Rock. Philly's more of a homecoming for the Rock than LA is.
Yeah.
You know, so if they don't do it this year, it's not the end of the world.
I think my one thing with that is for people who are saying it doesn't have to be for the title. Here's the thing. If you say that, then immediately the title feud becomes significantly less important than whatever the other thing is. That's, especially with Roman, again, being their greatest champion ever. That's what they're building him up as. Why would he have a match where he's not defending? What is his incentive? There is none.
Yeah. No,
there is no incentive for him not to. I don't care that there's family connections. The family connections involve somebody who wants to win.
Yeah. No.
And if Rock and John Cena at WrestleMania 29 was for the title, this too can be for the title.
Yeah. No, you're right. We'll have to see what happens. But yeah, overall, you know, I thought Crown Jewel was fine.
Yeah.
You know, who won't be cashing in on Roman is Austin Theory, because he is a dumbass and tried to cash in after an open challenge.
What the fuck
is
up with that, man? Make it make sense. I understand if nobody likes Theory and everyone hates Theory and Triple H doesn't like Theory and he just wants to dump on Theory. I get it. Make him lose to Roman. Make him lose for the actual championship. I don't want to hear this, oh, I never have said. It's always been established since day fucking one. When you win Money in the Bank, you cash in on the championship. Not the secondary title, the championship. Every precedent has been you cash it in on the champion.
Yeah. Well, because when Otis had it, you know, everyone's like, oh, maybe they'll cash in for tag titles.
But that would have been stupid.
Yeah.
That would have been stupid.
This is stupid too. Just no one cares about Theory.
Right. But here's the thing. When Otis won Money in the Bank, they were in a time period where they didn't know that they were going to get Roman back, and they were also experimenting in a unique situation that we're never going to see happen ever again.
Hopefully.
So from that perspective, it's like, okay, he was probably a lame duck, and he was probably always going to be a lame duck, but at least, like, it was different.
Yeah.
In this case, with Theory, when he won, everyone online was like, oh, you could hear a pin drop. How are we supposed to buy into this guy with the case and whatnot? Ultimately, I don't think that there was ever going to be a satisfying payoff, even if he did try to cash in on Roman and inevitably lost. Here's why. For me personally, I think the concept is run completely stale. I don't think that if he would have done that, all anyone was going to say was, oh, it was a waste to have him with the case anyway. Oh, you made him look like a goof anyway. You did all this for the last couple of months, and then you had him lose like that. There's nothing satisfying because the decision itself was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They should never have given him the case in the first place. It was an albatross. Nobody bought into him. Nobody's going to buy into him in a year. He's not going to cash in on Cody and win because that just makes Cody look like shit.
Yeah.
And Cody, if he wins the title from Roman, he needs to look good.
Well, and that's the one.
That's my problem. The problem is twofold for me. It's theory and it's money in the bank because that's a concept I think that could seem to go away for about 18 months.
Yeah.
I don't even need to see it at Mania like people are suspecting is going to happen.
Mm.
Let it go away and then bring it back and again, have it be meaningful. The year-long stuff, there's nothing...
Well, there's only so many ideas you can do with it. Exactly. There's only so many ideas.
And the other problem is just, like, they've been so quick-triggered with so many of them. There's been 6 winners for the women. 4 of them cashed in within 24 hours.
Well, yeah, and I mean...
One of them had a meaningful reign afterwards.
They've never established a long reign with the women's Money in the Bank. They've always been so quick to flip it.
And yeah, like you have Carmella had it for a year, and then she was just a tourist afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't in the title scene for another 2 years.
Yeah,
I can't name you the last guy. We were talking about this. Ambrose, I guess, was the last guy who had a meaningful case run. It was only a couple hours because he was champion for.
He's the last guy that they actually seemed to have a plan. I mean, they had a plan for Brock,
The thing with Brock though is it was a means to an end.
Yeah,
Ambrose wasn't necessarily a means to an end. Alexa was a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Braun was a means to an end. Braun didn't
cash in. I don't think they had a plan.
Cash in right. Braun didn't cash in right. Otis, again, completely ambivalent. Big E, they did have a plan for him, but the plan for him was just abbreviated shorter than it needed to be.
Yeah.
So you're continuing to go stretch back and forth, and it's like, okay, we get to Rollins in 2014. Okay, you did something there. Good job. That's the only time that you can really say that since, what, Edge? It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. They need to. I'm glad that they axed it. It's. I guess it sucks for him, but I also don't care about theory, so it's sort of just. I struggle with feeling any sympathy. I get the make it make sense crowd, but. I just don't think it made any sense for him to have it to begin with.
And I feel you. Like, the argument isn't, you know, whether or not he should have won in the first place.
Yeah.
That was, like, Vince's last fuck you before
he got
a body here. So, you know, it is what it is. For me, I think it just sets a terrible precedent for moving forward. They could have did it the right way. Even if they, you know, if you want to get off a theory so badly, just have them lose it to someone else. And
that would have made sense.
But I think the problem is, again, who is he going to lose to that people can buy in?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would have probably...
You have an opportunity to decide that. I'm not saying there is somebody there right now, but, like, Triple H has been in charge for almost 3 months now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've had an opportunity to try to find your guy and to find your future guy that you could pin that on. You know, you could have him hold that all the way up until next July, theoretically. So, you know, there was time to decide if it wasn't going to be Theory. And I don't think Theory was doing a horrible job holding that belt. Theory just had a hell of a match a couple weeks ago against Seth Rollins. So, to me, it was rushed. And they did a poor job in rushing it. So,
yeah. And again, like, in the moment, it's like, oh, cool, the briefcase off Theory, a guy who sucks. But, like, you know, overall, it probably isn't ideal. But, again, it was something that... you know, was set up by a previous person and
they're under no obligation to finish the job.
Exactly. They get a little bit of a pass for that. Like they get, you know, it's like a 24/7 title. You know, they got rid of that and Dana Brooke was very upset.
Yeah,
I get it. You know,
that?
She
like, do you care?
I can't pretend like I care.
No, listen.
I haven't cared about that title since unfortunately COVID completely limited it. And then they just killed the bit by having it being an actual title that people aspire to have. Like,
it was very cool at first. It was fun. Truth and Drake did a lot of cool stuff with it. You know,
so did Carmella. So did Jinder.
Yeah, Kyle Busch won it. That was funny. Like,
Enos Kanter won it. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately,
I forgot about that. But yeah, yes,
I unfortunately had to see that at the Garden.
Yeah, so it's like it was cool for a little bit, but I mean, the hardcore title I was looking only was like 3.5 years, 4 years, so it's kind of a life cycle for these sorts of things. Like, I don't know, I get Dana being like, you know, I tried to make this thing important and they just kind of took it away, because, you know, that sucks when you're doing something and you're trying to make it good and it isn't there anymore because of the circumstance outside of your control. But, you know, that's business, that happens sometimes.
I mean, I found it funny that they did it right after Dana came out and said, oh, yeah, no, I love to transition this into a women's belt. We'll see what ends up happening with it. I just thought it was funny because it smells like Vince McMahon.
Oh,
it smells like some shit Vince would do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, because it was interesting to me to begin with that she said that quickly, because Bailey was asked about it before her, and she's the one, she actually said that it takes time.
Yeah, I don't
and
think
that she was stressing more patience with
her. I don't think just adding another title solves the problem.
No,
the women's division.
But also, like, do you want your title to be something that's been reduced to comedy and joke segments?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not something that was ever going to work perception wise. If you're going to have a new title, have a new title.
Mm-hmm.
Just bring in a new title, do something different, do a tournament or whatever for it, make it a big deal. Don't turn a title that, no disrespect to Dana, I get it, no disrespect to Truth or Drake or anyone who tried to make it funny. It was for comedy segments only. It wasn't meant to be a serious championship.
Yeah.
You have to do a legitimate amount of Houdini-ing the audience to get people to care about that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. I mean, again, if you want to do an Intercontinental title, just start from scratch. Fine. I don't think they need to do it right now. But
no, 2024.
Like, yeah.
2024. It takes time. But I just thought that was interesting that Bailey was preaching patience, Dan seemed to want it now, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
You know, I mean, it's not going to hold it when it's time for it to be one. I think you, me, and the world need that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, let's go back in time to the year 2006. We are coming off out of No Mercy. Book T is still the World Heavyweight Championship. We're on the road to Cyber Sunday when there's some weird triple triangle championship match for some reason.
Yeah,
but,
the champion.
Yeah.
Before we get that, the formation of one of my favorite tag teams of all time.
Yes. I mean, we'll get into it when we talk about Cyber Sunday. Might be the worst pay-per-view that we've watched in the past 4 years. Actively bad. But yeah, first we got the top five movies here. Debuting at number five is Flicka, which I believe was about a horse, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
Open Season stays at four. Flags Are Our Fathers debuts at number three. Departed drops from 2 to 1. And debuting at number one is The Prestige.
By the way, so I didn't get to talk about it, Departed, one of my favorite movies of all time. I still remember watching it for the first time and just being captivated by how good it was.
I've still never seen it.
It's very good. You should watch it.
I know it was big on the internet in 2006 because there are a lot of people who, like, on forums that I was on, always made like graphics about it. But I also remember it being like a really long movie, at least for the time.
Yeah.
I guess now we've become so accustomed with like 2-hour plus long movies for like this one, you know, now doesn't feel so long, but I mean back then it's just like, shit, I gotta get through.
Yeah, because it's 151 minutes, and I remember people being like, oh my god, it's a 2.5-hour movie. That's so long.
Yeah,
now it's,
you know,
standard.
Top five songs, staying at number five is How to Save a Life, staying at four is Smack That, staying at three is Lips of an Angel, down to number two is Sexy Back. Your new number one song is Moneymaker.
That was a pretty big song.
It was.
Yeah, it was. That was Ludacris with My Fresh Cut for the first time. Party Jam. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So before we get started, the World Series began on Saturday. I teased this. Do you guys remember the song with Eminem and D12? You don't know?
Yes.
that was the theme song for this World Series.
I'm trying to remember it. I gotta play it. Hold on. Continue. Let me play it.
Yeah. So I just remember that just being a random anecdote. However, in game one, the Cardinals defeated the Tigers 7-2. Anthony Reyes.
It hit in my head right when I opened Apple Music. You know you're acting like it don't with 50. That was the song for Fox that year.
Yes, it was the song for Fox in this World Series.
Interesting. See, I blacked out of this World Series for obvious reasons.
Yes.
So I don't remember.
Yes. So the Cardinals won 7-2. Verlander picked up the loss. Scott Rolen and Albert Pujols each hit home runs. Craig Monroe did for Detroit. So this is also the first ever matchups of two rookies to start a game one of any World Series.
This was Verlander.
It was started by Carlos Reyes.
Reyes. I don't remember Carlos.
I don't even remember him. Really.
Yeah, or Anthony. Well, actually, it should be Anthony Carlos Reyes. It says 2 on Wikipedia. So
okay,
whatever. He retired 17 straight Tigers.
Was he a lefty
in the World Series? Let's see.
No,
who's a right?
No, definitely don't remember him. He don't matter in this. It's Verlander that matters, and you know this is Verlander's first World Series start, and he's historically been terrible, and finally he had a great one this past week against Philly, and he's got a second right now. Okay. I don't want to sit here and say good for him. I want the Phillies to win, but good for Dusty.
Very true. Also, hilariously enough, this is the first win by a National League team in the World Series since Game 6 of the 2003 World Series because Boston and Chicago swept St. Louis and Houston in back-to-back years.
Yep.
It's pretty fun.
It's crazy.
That is pretty fun. All right. Let's see. In the world of college football, it was pretty much business as usual for all these teams. Tennessee beat Alabama 16-13. They, of course, would not beat Alabama again until this year.
Yes.
So they will now go the next 16 years without beating them. Cal hung on to beat Washington 31-24. Cal is ranked 11th in the country. On the flip side, 18th ranked Oregon lost 34-23 to Washington State. Clemson beat Georgia Tech 31-7. Clemson was ranked 12th. Georgia Tech was ranked 13th at the time. That team, of course, did have Calvin Johnson and Roman Reigns.
It's true.
Rutgers beat Pitt 20-10. Rutgers is now ranked 19th in the nation. So good for the Scarlet Knights, who still have their biggest win to come, I believe. And let's see. Michigan State was down 38-3 to Northwestern in the third quarter. They won 41-38.
Who's quarterback? Drew Stanton?
That's a great question, actually.
Probably Drew Stanton, right? Maybe
it might have been Drew Stanton in 2006. That might be correct. Let's see. That Spartans team was also awful. They went 4-8. Jesus. Yes, it was
Drew Stanton. Yeah,
it was Drew Stanton. Drew Stanton, who pretty much led the comeback. He had 3 touchdowns, including one on the ground.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah,
and that was Patrick Fitzgerald's first year.
So he might have missed some time this year. Yeah, okay. He did win the Northwestern game. Seeing that,
yeah,
because I remember, I remember him having a really good junior year. He decided to come back, and then I guess injuries or whatever kind of ruined him. He was like projected to be number two, and then just end up dropping and was a second round quarterback and was a backup for his whole career, but interesting. They were bad that if Drew Stanton was hurt, then they were bad that year.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
That was the only win after going 3-0.
Yes. Damn.
Holy shit.
In the NFL, let's see, we open with the Falcons and Steelers, and the Falcons won 41-38.
That game, I still remember that game.
Warren Anderson kicked a field goal in overtime to win it. Looks like Hines Ward had 3 touchdowns. LG Crumpler had 3 touchdowns. This looks like a hell of a game, I'll be honest with you.
This was 4 years after the two of them had a thriller in Pittsburgh that ended in a tie.
Oh, yeah.
And then they wound up playing again in 2010. It was a low scoring game, was still pretty entertaining, because I remember at the time, we were like, well, the Falcons and Steelers can only play close and ridiculous games. This was one of them. Yeah, this was, I remember this game, they, like, I think they switched to it at one point, or I remember watching highlights of it at least. Very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Let's see what else. Bears are on their bye week this week.
Yep. Matt Bryant kicked a 62-yarder to beat Philadelphia, 23-21. Bucks did, that is.
There you go.
So that was at the time, 1 yard short of the NFL record.
Mm-hmm.
And Rondy Barber returned two McNabb interceptions for Tampa's two touchdowns. So he's still in McNabb's head all these years later.
Yeah. The Chargers dropped to 4-2 with a 30-27 loss to the Chiefs. It'll be the last game that they lose until January.
Yep.
Pretty good team there.
Lawrence Tynes had missed an extra point and a 42-yarder, but he won the game on a last-minute kick.
Yes.
53 yards.
It was a long kick back then.
Yes, it was.
What else we got? I think that's really the big stuff.
Chester Taylor had at the time, team record 95-yard touchdown run as the Vikings beat the Seahawks. I don't know if that's been eclipsed. I know they had the 99-yard passing touchdown buried.
They did.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Or maybe I missed it. Was this a bye week for us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they played
the bye week of the Dolphins game.
They played Arizona the week before on Monday Night Football, and then they had the bye week. Also, yeah, it looks like a Chester Taylor run is still the longest for the Vikings.
Well, there you go. Also, it went from bad to worse for the Chargers. They did lose to the Chiefs, and also Sean Merriman got popped for steroids.
It's rough. That is rough. Monday Night Football, the New York Giants improved to 4-2 with a 36-22 win over the Dallas Cowboys.
This was Tony Romo. Bill Parcells lifted Bledsoe for Romo, but Romo unfortunately threw three interceptions.
He did.
Bledsoe had also thrown a costly INT that would have given Dallas a 14-12 lead. T.O. had 98 yards receiving and a touchdown, but he dropped an easy catch on fourth down. And Tiki Barber recorded his third straight 100-yard rushing game.
Right around, I think, when he announced that he was going to be retiring as well.
Barber?
Yeah,
last week he did.
Oh, yeah. We talked about
that. Yeah, we talked about that. It did not go well at all.
No.
Whatsoever. Every piece of fallout from Tiki Barber in 2006 is awful for him.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Raw, we got October 23rd, 2006 from the Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont. Kevin Federline's here to open the show. He's looking for payback since, last week everyone was talking about him, but only because he got FU'd by John Cena. He's not like the Cubs. He's not a lovable loser. He's going to get his revenge tonight. He's not alone. He's got Big Show and Booker T with him. And then Cena comes out and cuts a promo on all of them and says that Booker has lost his status as a black man for saying K-Fed's album was good, which leads to Ron Simmons coming out and yelling, damn. So we've gotten to that point, and just a very good bit.
Okay.
I mean, the Ron Simmons stuff is very dumb, but good for him for getting a check. He rules, man.
Yeah, I always hear for Ron Simmons getting a check. I guess I was going back to the not black enough stuff. I was like,
oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not ideal.
2006 WWE.
I didn't really realize how no one cared about Kevin Federline in any of these buildings.
No,
just not complete silence when he comes out.
Fuck. And yeah, I guess you contrast that with today, and it's just. But also, it's, and this is where the switch from TV 14 to TV PG, this is the underrated aspect that I don't think it's talked about it enough. You know, folks were so mad about that and the lowering of the rating, and it's not going to be as raunchy and da 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 as it was within the moment. It's going to be more kid friendly, but making it more accessible to families and to sponsors and to folks who, want to dive into the product without, the gratuitous shit, it's leading to not just more celebrities coming through and feeling the urge to come through, but it just being more than a cash grab. Like, remember when they were doing the guest host shit, and, you get Jeremy Piven coming in, and you get what's the folks from Two and a Half Men or whatever show he's from. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Meatloaf was one of them.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just a cash grab. These folks don't care. You know, I think the lowering of the rating and made it more, comfortable for folks to come in and then also be accepted by this crowd, because it wasn't this, like, niche 18-34, you know, we don't fuck with you because you're Kevin Federline. Granted, you shouldn't fuck with Kevin Federline at all. But it's just like that kind of crowd wasn't receptive to celebrities as a whole. Now, like, you know, we're able to pull a crowd that will fuck with a Bad Bunny, and then Bad Bunny wants to come and, you know, actually devote his time to this.
Yeah, exactly. We get Melina against Mickey James in the semifinal of the women's tournament. Actually, pretty nice little match here. Mickey wins the Tornado DDT, so she will face either Lita or Maria at Cyber Sunday.
These two will have a match in April of 2007 at Backlash. It's quite good.
No, there you go.
For the women's championship.
Shelton Benjamin and Chris Masters are teaming up against Carlito and Jeff Hardy.
Gee,
and,
I wonder who's taking the pin in this match.
Well, surprisingly, it was not Chris Masters. Wow. He pushed Hardy into Carlito, and Shelton rolled him up and got the win. So Shelton beat Carlito. Carlito and Jeff argued after the match, and then they put their differences aside and took out Masters and Shelton. So Tommy Harris and Dusty Dvorak are in the crowd. JR is very excited.
You know, Dvorak, of course, works for ESPN now.
Yeah. I don't know what Tommy Harris is doing these days.
I really do wonder what Tommy Harris is doing these days. That's a good, because Tommy Harris would definitely do great if he wanted to, you know, be like the Lance Briggs or whatever, Alex Brown. Yeah. Oh, that was a month ago. Okay. Former OU star Tommy Harris arrested in Oklahoma City at the Omni Hotel for trespassing.
Oh, that's not good.
Per the police report, Harris had been drinking at the Omni Hotel bar when he was cut off after the bartender thought he had enough to drink. He was asked to return to his room, refused. He was then told he had to leave the hotel. And, I mean, hey, if that's the worst I'm saying about Tommy Harris, it's okay. He's been through some shit, man. I remember he lost his wife.
His wife died of a brain aneurysm.
Right after they got married. So, you know, he's been through some shit. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always liked him. He was good.
By the way, like, I remember being a kid and wondering, why is JR so happy to see Dusty Dvorak? Like, I understand the Oklahoma, you know, connection. Tommy Harris went to Oklahoma, so did Dusty Dvorak. But, like, who gives a fuck about Dusty Dvorak? You got the undefeated Chicago Bears here on Raw, and you hyped up to see Dusty fucking Dvorak, who probably wasn't even playing that year.
Todd Grisham is with Randy Orton and Edge. Orton challenges Triple H for a rematch, and Edge invites Coach Vince and Eric Bischoff to ringside to watch it. Very interesting that they have three people coming to watch it. I wonder if they're going to factor into Cyber Sunday.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe. Johnny Nitro takes on John Cena. Johnny Nitro, of course, with Kevin Federline in his corner. Cena got thrown to the outside. KFed slapped him while Cena chased him around. Nitro hit a crossbody and slammed his head off the announce table before bringing Cena back in, but he kicked out at two. Cena eventually won with the FU. However, after the match, he chased Federline up the ramp. Booker and Big Show came out, attacked him, but then Booker turned on Big Show and stood tall over both.
Yeah.
Good job, Booker.
Yep.
Outsmarted him. Crime Time beat the Spirit Squad. Kenny is tired of his loser partners and challenges Ric Flair to a match tonight.
Yep.
We see Eugene shooting t-shirts into the crowd and a Brian Urlacher jersey. He shot Armando Alejandro Estrada in the dick and then MAGA beat him down.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then Hacksaw told Eugene that he should learn how to fight. Eugene beat him up. We get Kenny against Ric Flair. Kenny said that he was just going to take on Flair by himself, but instead he brought the whole Spirit Squad with him. But it's fine because Flair is back up too, and it's Sergeant Slaughter and Roddy Piper and Dusty Rhodes.
What a strange trio of help.
Yeah.
Who would help?
Kenny wins while holding the tights, and then the teams brawl with each other.
Yeah.
Vince runs into Eric Bischoff, says the pass is the pass. They can work together now to take down DX. And Eric agrees. Vince says, you know, he's not going to be able to go to the ring tonight to watch a match, so Eric can take care of business, and Vince would owe him a favor. So they're really implying that Bischoff's going to be there for a while. So I'm interested in what kind of changes that.
I don't know.
This is more than just trying to sell a book.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, at the time, the hot internet rumor, or the hot thing that the people wanted was John Cena joining the NWO or starting the NWO with Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Or that Rated RKO, we're going to turn into the NWO or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that going on at the time in the forums. And with Bischoff, it seemed like they were legitimately bringing him in to stay.
Yeah. Because the finish, you know, we go into Triple H and Orton. The finish is, you know, there's a ref bump and Bischoff gives Orton a chair and he hits Triple H with it. Randy gets the win. So it's like, oh, is Randy going to be with these two guys?
Exactly.
They definitely want you to think that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that kind of play out. move to ECW.
Yes. One quick piece of news from the NFL on October 24th. The NFL owners approved a plan to play one or two regular season games each year at sites outside of the United States starting in 2007. Game sites have not yet been announced, but are likely to include Canada, Mexico, Great Britain, and Germany.
Yeah, they did all that. I mean, you know, the Bills used to play in Toronto.
Yep.
Game of the year.
The first game, the first Europe game, the game in UK or whatever, was Giants-Dolphins.
Yeah,
I remember that. It
was raining. I remember doing that because my family was planning on moving to another part of our town, and at the open house we were at, they had that game.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
yeah, I remember that when it happened. That was the Giants Super Bowl run.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Year. Yes. The Dolphins were in disarray. I think they were on barreling mm-hmm. towards the top pick.
That was the 1-15 year where they beat the Ravens after they like choked or whatever.
Terrible game. I mean, it's at the precedent for mm-hmm. it. They've been doing games in Mexico for a while. Cardinals or the 49ers, you know, a team with a heavily Mexican fan base will usually go down there to Mexico City when they can do it. London, we just talked about Toronto. And then finally, I don't know if they ever did the Germany game, but finally we're getting the Germany game this Sunday. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's good for the sport. You know, the games usually aren't very good, and I think the travel's not great, but, that's kind of how the NFL is every week. So
I think they're cool niche games, but I also think that if we're going to do them, and that we should do them, we got to have two bye weeks.
Yeah.
We got to have week 19. Like, it makes no sense to not do a week 19.
Yeah. It feels like doing a before and after bye week for these games would make the most sense.
Yeah. Well, and if you push a Super Bowl back another week, who cares? It's already in February anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's nothing else on in February.
And people are going to watch the Super Bowl. It's an event.
I mean, they're going to have to push the Daytona 500 back a week if you push the Super Bowl back a week, but that's not
hard. Or push it up like you do Daytona Valentine's Day weekend. Basically, the Super Bowl just pushes up or back All-Star Weekend. And hey, if All-Star Weekend is beginning of March, I think it was beginning of March 2021, right? I'm not mad.
Yeah.
You know, football's already taken over everything. You just push back the combine, start the next season. You can still start the next season on time.
Who cares? I was just gonna say or point out, they're just doing a skills competition now, right?
Yeah.
They obviously need the buys or whatever, but like, you can make that work.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they should do that, but yeah. Do you have the next two World Series games? Because I looked, since ECW and SmackDown are in St. Louis.
So back on Sunday.
Is that the Kenny Rogers
game? That was the Kenny Rogers
game. Yeah.
Yeah. The Tigers won.
Fucking Rogers.
Yeah. The Tigers won 3-1.
Wow.
Craig Monroe hit another home run for the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got two home runs in two games in the World Series.
Kenny Rogers hit pine tar in his hands.
Yeah, he didn't give up a run in the start. He threw eight innings, allowed two hits, and ran a streak of scoreless innings in the 2006 postseason to 23.
Yeah, he was ridiculous that year.
Made no sense, but yeah, he was ridiculous. So the series is tied 1-1. But then on Tuesday, Monday, it said, controversy surrounds game two of the 06 World Series after Tigers pitcher Kenny Rogers was found to have an unknown substance, believed by some to be pine tar, on a patch on his pitching hand during the first inning. Video showed a similar substance on his hand during game three of the ALCS. He washed his hands coming out before coming out in the second inning.
Smart.
White. So in game three of the World Series, the Cardinals beat the Tigers 5-0. Chris Carpenter gave up only three hits and no walks in eight innings. The Cardinals scored on a Jim Edmonds double, an error by Joel Zumaya, and a wild pitch from Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, some
Joel
guys.
Zumaya, by the way.
Yes. Meanwhile, down the street from there, some people were at ECW instead.
Yes.
RVD was here. He boasts about beating the Big Show last week, and now, you know, he gets his title match at some point, No, he beat Big Show last week, and Heyman says tonight there's going to be a ladder match for the contract, and if RVD wins, then he can have his title match at some point, but if Big Show gets a contract, he can just rip it up. CM Punk defeated Matt Stryker by disqualification when Mike Knox interfered. Test beat Hardcore Holly in a 16-minute match. Sandman tells people to vote for him to face Umaga at Cyber Sunday. Kane and Chris Benoit are the other options. Sandman doesn't really make any sense here, but, you know. And then we get to Big Show and RVD in a ladder match. Big Show, actually pretty good match. Big Show bleeding quite a bit. RVD does a Hurricane Rana to the Big Show over the top rope and scurries back up the ladder and gets the win. So now he definitely gets the contract for a match for the title against the Big Show.
Yes. Okay. To update in the world of sports on our way to SmackDown, game four was postponed until Thursday due to rain. The Cardinals are still leading this series. Then on Thursday, the Cardinals beat the Tigers 5-4. There's a smudge in my glasses. My bad. I couldn't read it. David Eckstein doubled Aaron Miles home with the winning run as the Cardinals took advantage of sloppy play by the Tigers to move within one win of their first championship since 1982. And meanwhile, in the world of college football, Brandon Orr rushed for 203 yards in Virginia Tech's upset of the Clemson Tigers. They beat them 24-7. Clemson was ranked 10th at the time.
Okay. Move to SmackDown. Again, from St. Louis. Batista's in ring to open the show. He's been trying to get his title back ever since he had to surrender it, but Finlay's been making that tough for him. And Finlay loves to fight so much, so does Batista, so they can come out and fight right now. But instead, Paul Heyman comes out. Starts promising Batista that, you know, if he comes to ECW, he'll be respected and the fans will treat him better, which we have evidence that that's not true. Paul just wants Batista to consider it, maybe come to ECW. And Batista shakes his hand and does a thumbs up and thumbs down, takes out the security guards, but Paul escapes because Big Show and Booker come out to take down Batista. But then Cena comes in for the save. He stands tall with Batista, set up the main event because John Cena's wrestling because they're going up against the World Series.
Yes. And moving along here, we have William Regal and Dave Taylor against Bobby Lashley and Tatanka.
Mm-hmm.
They had to edit this together because Taylor tore his meniscus. So they went to the finish early, and Regal pinned Tatanka with his feet on the ropes and brawled with Lashley after.
Yeah, Tatanka and Lashley are feuding now.
Yes, they are.
A little bit.
Crystal was with Chris Benoit backstage, but during the interview, he saw Vicky off screen and wanted to know what the deal is lately and why have her and Chavo been acting like this.
Fair.
Vicky said that Chris wasn't as close as he thought he was to Eddie, which is kind of a yikes statement.
Yeah. MVP is sick, can't face Kane tonight, so Kennedy comes in, says that the people deserve to see him wrestle, and Teddy Long says that he can replace MVP and face Kane tonight in a no DQ match, which Kennedy's not thrilled about, but you know. Gregory Helms beat Matt Hardy, who's like their last nine matches that you've seen. Kennedy and Kane had a pretty solid no DQ match. Kane was going to win, but MVP came out to help Kennedy and hit Kane with a chair, and then Kennedy got the win, so he wasn't sick after all, he just didn't want to wrestle Kane. Cena and Batista are trying to get on the same page because, you know, they, you know, ego is clashing and all that. And Cena says Batista has lost his fire. Tonight he's got to get it back. Chavo and Vicky come out and play the video of Ray quitting last week, and Benoit comes out and they kind of just ignore him and leave.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Fair play.
That's,
Teddy announced next week MVP Mr. Kennedy will face the Brother of Destruction.
Yeah, they're back.
They are. Crystal won the Trick or Treat Divas Battle Royal. Boogeyman came out and put worms in her mouth.
Yeah.
And then we get to our main event of Big Show and Booker T versus John Cena and Batista. This isn't, you know, a great show to go up against the World Series, but it's a pretty loaded main event, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, it delivered.
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know, Big Show refused to tag in late and just let Booker defend for himself, and then Batista beat him for the win. You know, it's pretty clear they're going to give Batista the title back at some point. I kind of commend them for waiting this long. I don't think Booker's reign has been bad, though.
No, I think it's been entertaining.
Kind of the best character work that he did in WWE, for sure. I don't know if it's the best in-ring, but, you know, it's he's still good. He's also, what is he, like 44 at this point? He's pretty old. He's so, I mean, there. But, yeah, this is the first week, and we can move to week two.
We can. Before we get there, Cardinals won the World Series on Friday night, 4-2. they won the World Series, obviously, in four games, or five games, rather. David Eckstein won the series MVP, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now David Eckstein, of course, two-time World Series champion after winning with the Angels in 2002.
Yeah, no, that's true. And future TNA superstar.
Yes. Also, in the world of baseball, on Friday, Bruce Bochy resigned as manager of the San Diego Padres to accept a similar job with NL West rival San Francisco. He signed a two-year contract.
See how that works for them?
See how that works for them. Spoiler alert, it works out pretty well.
Just got a job in Texas, so.
Yeah, you did.
Which, like, I said 2 years ago, he was going to come out of retirement and look for a great job. And they knew the perfect job, but they decided he wasn't the Hall of Fame baseball person that they wanted at the time. So, hey, enjoy Pedro Grifol, guys.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yep. Big news out of the world of college football that weekend. Two long streaks ended. One streak that ended was the longest losing streak in Division 1A. That belonged at the time to the Temple Owls, but they snapped that with a 28-14 win over Bowling Green. The streak is over at 20 games.
Oh, there you go.
And meanwhile, USC's regular season winning streak came to an end at 38 games with their 33-31 loss to Oregon State. USC fell behind 33-10 thanks to four turnovers and then came close to tying the game, but they failed on a two-point conversion after scoring a touchdown. Oregon State wound up getting them.
I remember this game. This was a light your stogie, like you're the 72 Dolphins game for me, because this was when I knew the USC dynasty was dead, baby. It's never coming back, ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, that truth seems like it, man. I mean, I thought maybe, you know.
Well, ironically, really, Oregon State got them again on Thursday night. Yeah. Like 2 or 3 years later when they had Mark Sanchez.
That's true.
2 years later, I should say, when they had Mark Sanchez. They had all that preseason hype, but they got them again in Corvallis that year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really funny how that works all the time.
Yeah. Top five songs for this week. Number five is My Love by Justin Timberlake. Number four is Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. Three is Lips of an Angel. Up to number two is Smack That. And staying at number one is Moneymaker. Top five movies, Open Season down to 5 from 4, Flags of Our Fathers down to 4 from 3, Prestige down from 1 to 3, Departed stays at 2, and Saw 3 debuts at number 1.
Continuation of a solid series. I'm trying to remember Saw 3, because like I get up to 2 and then the rest escape me, because I don't think I've seen the rest since the initial
I've
seen them.
I'm pretty sure I saw 3. But I don't remember like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I own it, so I really should just popped it in last month, but I was too fucking busy, I guess.
Move on to the NFL here. The Chicago Bears came out of their bye week, improved to 7-0, 41-10 victory over the San Francisco 49ers.
They
left 41-0 at halftime. Shitty 49ers team. Oh, that's right. It was that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. That one.
Which one is it? The one with the wind and Nathan Bass?
No, that was the year before.
That was the year before that.
Because that was that was like the day that Eddie Guerrero died.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't really remember this one too much. I didn't at first, and you know, realized they were 41-0.
They beat the shit out of them, and they had a 41-0 lead at the end of the first half. It was like it was probably Rex Grossman's best game as a Bear. To the point where the rest of you just, you know, nobody gave a shit. Thomas Jones ran the hell on them. Yeah. This was the game where I'm just like, oh, we are going to the Super Bowl. And then they got beat by the Dolphins the next week.
Yeah.
Fucking Joey Harrington.
God.
Other NFL notables here. Larry Johnson ran the ball 39 times for the Chiefs for 155 yards and 39 three scores.
Too many.
Yeah, well, maybe he shouldn't have, you know.
35-28. 39.
Maybe he should have.
Dick Vermeil?
Yeah.
Dick Vermeil should be thrown underneath the jail for what he did to Larry Johnson's head.
Wait, wasn't it Herm in 06 or was it Neil? I don't actually remember. Did Herm get
No, it was Herm.
It was Herm, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't playing to win the game. Maybe you should have sat
down for a little bit.
Maybe you need to stop playing to win the game, and you should have sat his ass on the bench.
The Indianapolis Colts improved to 7-0 with a 34-31 win over the Broncos. Adam Vinatieri had a 37-yard game-winning field goal.
He did, and keep in mind, the Broncos only allowed 2 touchdowns all year up until this point.
Yeah.
That was a ridiculous defense, and still Peyton went 32 of 39, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns, all to Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, those Colts teams, obviously this one, it's a little harder to appreciate them, but, like, I didn't really have a problem with them, like, compared to the Patriots.
I love watching
the Colts. They were annoying to play in Madden because they'd have Peyton, you know, hot route all the time and stuff, but,
That was perfect.
You know, they're fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, like I said, this one's different because of how everything ends, but, you know.
Also, the Titans outgained the Texans 427-197, but the Texans outgained the Titans 427-197, but they committed 5 turnovers and still lost 28-22.
No, there you go.
That's ridiculous.
Monday Night Football, Tom Brady had 4 touchdowns. Patriots defeated the Vikings 31-7 to improve to 6-1 on the year.
6 consecutive win for the Patriots. All of his touchdowns went to a different receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad Johnson had 3 interceptions. And they brought in Brooks Bollinger, and he had an interception as well. So, not going great.
Nope.
I
do have something fun to talk about after we talk about Raw.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, we have one roster note here. Yes. Psychosis got released. So, Crazy is the only Mexico left.
Yes. All right, so let's talk about Raw from Moline, Illinois.
Yes.
Edge and Randy Orton are in the ring to start the show. Today is Edge's birthday, but he has to spend in Moline with all these people.
Now listen, Moline is not a great place. I mean, it's fine, but like, I wouldn't want to spend my birthday there.
It helps keep Illinois blue, but
that's true.
You know, for the most part. But I mean, yeah, I'd be upset if I was Edge too.
He's upset, but they have business to attend to. The 3 Cyber Sunday choices for special referee all came out and made their case to be voted for. So Vince, Coach, Bischoff all came out. Bischoff says he deserves it because controversy creates cash. Coach says he deserves it because DX has disrespected his authority for months. Vince doesn't feel the need to make a case for himself, but if he wins, he'll show DX the same dignity and respect that they've shown him, which, of course, is saying not a lot. Speaking of DX, Shawn Michaels is not here tonight, so Triple H and Randy Orton will have the rubber match, and Edge will be the special ref. Vince dismissed everyone and asked Coach what he's done to get John Cena ready since if Cena loses, Raw may not have a champion anymore. Coach said that he'll give him the night off, but Vince said, how about the fans vote on Cena's opponent tonight between Big Show, Booker, or Coach?
Wow. I wonder who they're going to vote for.
Yes, I wonder who they're
going to vote for. Carlito versus Shawn Benjamin versus Johnny Nitro, because one of these 3 are facing Jeff Hardy at Cyber Sunday, so they're going to have one last chance to prove it here, except not really, because they only get like 3 minutes, and Carlito wins with the backstabber, and you probably could have cut some time off the opening segment, given these guys some more time, but you know. John Cena tells Todd Grisham he's not really concerned about Cyber Sunday. You know, he can't control who wins or what title's on the line, so you know, he's not going to worry about it, and maybe he'll walk away with a second title.
Two belts.
Yeah. Lita defeated Vance to the final of the women's tournament against Mickey at Cyber Sunday. Triple H is in action against Randy Orton with Edge as a special referee, except before Orton comes out, Triple H hits Edge with a pedigree. So it's not actually Edge, it's the referee.
Yeah.
Then once Edge comes back, he pulls out the referee and attacks Triple H for disqualification, and then Triple H gets a sledgehammer and kind of evens it up and sends him running. So. Yeah, you know.
There's a lot going on
there. Umaga defeated Eugene and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Coach is ready to face John Cena tonight. Tells Bischoff that he's going to beat up the next person to walk through that door. And it's Ron Simmons. And he runs away. Coach runs away and Ron Simmons says, damn.
On time.
Ric Flair is going to team with either Roddy Piper, Dusty Rhodes, or Sergeant Slaughter against the Spirit Squad. So he's going to be in action for the tag titles.
Yes.
Speaking of tag teams, Crime Time beat Visser and Charlie Haas, so they keep kind of rolling along here. Triple H says he doesn't care who the ref's going to be on Cyber Sunday. They're going to win anyway. And then we get to our main event, which is Cena against Coach. And Big Show and Booker beat Cena up for a while, and then he overcomes it and beats Coach anyway. And not a very good go-home Raw.
No, not too great. Not really too great at all.
Yeah. On to ECW from the BMO Harris Bradley Center in Milwaukee, which is no longer standing. Paul Heyman's on the screen, much to his dismay. RVD won his title shot against the Big Show. RVD named December 3rd at December to Dismember at when he will cash it in, but he didn't name a stipulation. So there's going to be an Extreme Elimination Chamber match, which sounds very good, and I hope it all goes well. Should be a fun time. I've never seen that show. I've gone out of my way to not watch it. So
fuck, we have to watch that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. I've never watched it either, and now I'm just, oh, fuck me.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Sabu defeats Kevin Thorne to qualify for the Extreme Elimination Chamber. Daivari comes out, and he's in action against Shannon Moore, gets the win. Great Khali is also there. I guess they work for ECW now.
Yeah.
They haven't been around for since SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to The Undertaker in the Last Man Standing match.
Yep.
Harker Holly blames RVD for his injury, but tonight their partners have to be on the same page. Mike Knox challenges CM Punk for next week. RVD and Harker Holly against Big Show Test. Not a bad match. They get a lot of time. There's someone in a gorilla suit, and he hits RVD with a pipe, throws him back in, and Big Show chokeslams him, and it turns out that that person was Paul Heyman. It was fine. I mean, ECW's not good, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Anyways, also occurring on Halloween night was NBA opening night. Means that we're talking about when the Heat received their title rings from last season. However, the Bulls went in and kicked the crap out of them.
Fucking right they did.
They beat them 108-66. My God.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm living in Philly right now, and, you know, so we have the undefeated Eagles team. The Phillies just lost in the World Series. The Union lost in the MLS Cup, actually the same day the Phillies lost the World Series, which is hilarious. In hilarious fashion, they lost. The Sixers are, I mean, the Sixers. The Flyers are kind of decent right now, fake decent, in fact. I think the only other time we're like, most of the teams in Chicago were good or around this time in 05, 06, 07, 08. It's like that little sliver of time where like every team is kind of feeling it in some sort of way. And I just remember feeling like, yo, the Bears are undefeated. Cubs are going to come up. And the Bulls just kicked the shit out of Miami to get revenge for last year. Oh, it's on.
Yeah.
It wasn't on, but
no,
it's fun vibes. You know. Bulls provide great vibes, man, when they weren't when they're winning.
Yeah, so Kirk Heinrich scored 26 in the game. He had signed a 5-year contract extension earlier in the day, and Chris Duhon added 20.
Chris Duhon was good for a couple of years, man. He was good with the Knicks for a couple of years too.
Yeah, Chris Duhon is an all-time bench player in Chicago history for me.
Yeah,
makes sense. The Heat suffered their worst opening night loss ever, and it was the worst opening night loss for a defending champion at the time. I don't know if that's been eclipsed. I don't know if it has, but
that's what who the Lakers open with last year. Because if it was the Warriors, then they might two years ago. That might have been it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the Bulls took it to them, man. And that's kind of when you knew, like, hey, this team might do something kind of cool. And,
first game with Ben Wallace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a fun time.
Okay, moving on here. Some notable stuff from the first night of, I mean, the first full slate of NBA games, obviously. Started with the opening night ones, and now everything opened up. Jason Kidd had his 76th career triple-double, and the Nets defeated the Raptors 102-92. Vince Carter also added 25 and 11 himself. Chris Paul had 20 points and 10 assists to lead the Hornets to a 91-87 win on the road in Boston. Paul Pierce had 29 and 19. Let's see here. Allen Iverson had 32 points in a Sixers win over the Hawks. The Knicks blew a 19-point fourth quarter lead, however, survived in triple overtime to give Isaiah Thomas a win in his coaching debut. Isaiah Thomas, who recently spoke about how Michael Jordan called him an asshole.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
she fits.
Yeah.
His whole quote was so funny. He's just watching it on TV, and all of a sudden, this guy is just calling me an asshole. This asshole went on TV and called me an asshole. Okay, Thursday. Let's see. The only thing I can see is Louisville defeated West Virginia 44-34. This is a top five matchup in the world of college football for Louisville and West Virginia, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So they won 44-34. Mountaineers turned the ball over three times on fumbles, and Louisville has to go to the other remaining unbeaten team in the Big East next week, Rutgers. Let's see how that goes for them.
Yeah. Get into SmackDown here.
Yes.
Rey Mysterio hits the ring. Cole says that people have been speculating that maybe Rey's going to retire. Said that he quit the match last week because of pain in his knee. He didn't quit on the fans. He's going to be back. He's going to finish the job against Chavo. Just can't do it right now. And then Chavo and Vicky come out, and Chavo attacks Rey's knee. Then Benoit comes out and chases them off. So Rey is going to be gone for a long time. We talked about that last week. London and Kendrick defeated the Teacher's Pets because they only have two tag teams since Kid Cash got released. Teddy Long got Charmel and Booker a bodyguard, so they don't have to worry about getting attacked before Cyber Sunday, and their bodyguard is Batista. Then we get MVP and Kennedy against the Brothers of Destruction. First, they get intentionally counted out. Teddy Long says no countouts. Then they get intentionally disqualified. Teddy Long says no disqualifications. And then finally, they just lose. I guess it was cool to see Kane and Undertaker. They hadn't been on TV together in 5 years or so. So, yeah, it was cool. Booker was going to go get something to drink, but Batista said that he had to stay put because he heard some guys are coming around tonight and they could attack him. And Batista wants to do his job here. Hmm.
Gregory Helms beat Jimmy Wang Yang with help from Sylvain. Team of Miz and Crystal defeated the team of Layla and Vito. Bobby Lashley wrestled Jamie Noble. Lashley won quickly. Tataka came out, said Lashley awoke a warrior, and Tataka challenged Lashley to go to war with him. Okay. Batista escorted Booker and Charmel to the parking lot, but a bunch of Raw guys tried to ambush them. Batista took them all out and told Teddy Long he has some business to tend to in the ring. He went out, called Finley out, and they brawled to end the show. They'll wrestle next week.
Yeah.
So a little tension there.
Yes.
A little bit of tension there. Okay, real quick, in the world of college football, Mississippi State upset Alabama at Bryant-Denny, snapping a 23-game SEC road losing streak. So Sylvester Croom got one over on his alma mater. In addition to that, Hawaii beat Utah State 63-10, which means that once again they will be playing in the Sheraton Hawaiian Bowl. So they were the first team to accept the bowl bid, and that used to be how it would go.
Yeah.
And let's see. Wisconsin beat Penn State 13-3. Joe Paterno suffered a knee injury when one of his players ran into him. I'm not sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Maryland upset Clemson in Death Valley 13-12.
Damn.
Things are not looking good for the Tigers after they got run over by Brandon Orr the previous week by Bot Tech.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, Ohio State led Illinois 17-0 at the half, and they held them off to win 17-10. Of course, as you may or may not remember, Ohio State is number one, and Michigan right now is number two, and they defeated Ball State 34-26. Ball State gave Michigan all that they could handle, and they still survived.
So Michigan playing Ball State in the middle of conference play.
That's when they decided to have that game. Because Michigan, their schedule that year, they still had the Notre Dame game in week two.
Mm.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
They ran a different, yeah, because they started week three. They had Vanderbilt, Central Michigan, Notre Dame, and then they played Ball State in the middle there of November. So yeah. Interesting that both Ohio State and Michigan both faced tough tests on the same day, and they still survived.
Yeah. Well,
those, that's fair. Those are the top two teams in the country. And Florida clinched the SEC East with a 25-19 win over Vanderbilt. LSU, meanwhile, they defeated Tennessee. Jamarcus Russell led an 80-yard game-winning drive that ended with a touchdown catch by Early Doucette. That is a mid-2000s ass sentence right there.
Yes. Yeah, since we have pay-per-view on the Sunday, we'll do the NFL real quick. The Chicago Bears fell to 7-1 on the year, 31-13 loss to Miami Dolphins. You know, Rex Grossman threw a pick six, and I was just kind of like, okay, they just don't have it today. It is what it is, you know.
It's always the fucking Dolphins, though. Yeah, we just lost.
Yeah.
They've beaten the Dolphins, I want to say, what, once in the last so many games? It was the Brandon Marshall Cutler game where they just picked their. Actually, I think it was two games, because didn't they? No, they beat. They beat them when Brandon Marshall was on the Dolphins. I want to say it was like Thursday night game because Marshall got pissed. And I think they beat them with Marshall, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But, you know, it's always the fucking Dolphins we're losing to.
Yeah. So the Indianapolis Colts improved to 8-0 on the year with a 27-20 victory over the New England Patriots. Sunday Night Football, very big game. Good game. You know, we'll see these teams link up again. In January, Peyton Manning with two touchdowns in this one, both to one of his receivers. Tom Brady, four interceptions. So they really got to Brady there.
This is also the second straight year that the Colts went into Foxborough and won. Tom Brady threw four picks.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Also, Washington defeated Dallas in hilarious fashion. So on the final, what would have been the final play of the game, Washington blocked a Mike Vanderjagt field goal attempt. The game was tied at 19-19. A Dallas penalty on the return from that Washington had on the block gave them an untimed down, to which Nick Novak kicked a 47-yarder through the uprights for the win.
Wow.
That's peak Dallas hilarity right there.
Yeah.
On display.
That's true.
That's three. That's actually, what, like 2 or 3 weeks now? Because they beat Carolina the previous week. That wasn't sort of hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the other game, where Romo came in, still lost. So that's three games where they're just up and down and up and down. And up and down.
We ain't even made it to the playoffs yet.
Yeah,
that's true.
that's right, Jesus Christ.
Cyber Sunday 2006 from Cincinnati, Ohio. Not a good show, like I said earlier.
No. This is I think the thing that really stuck out to me, it's such a slog. In a way that No Mercy the previous month was not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Raw is a brutal show.
It's only 2.5 hours, yeah, but it feels like a long time. We start with Umaga against either Kane or Sandman or Chris Benoit. Kane got 49% of the vote. Sandman got 28%. Benoit got 23%. Did the fans get it right? I guess. I mean,
I don't know if they did. Because it's just like
Umaga just faced Kane a couple times, so that's like they wanted him to win, I guess. But yeah, Umaga versus Benoit's a one off would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been. You could have involved Chavo and Vicky there. There's a lot of that's a creative route that they never took. And I'm not like glorifying it, I guess, but I think that would have been a better call. I don't know if the fans got it right there.
Kane goes to the top rope clothesline late in the match, and Umaga hits a Samoan spike on his way down and then picks him up and hits one more, gets the pin. So they're really building Umaga up still. Charmel comes across Big Show in the back, says that if Booker or Big Show's title are on the line, they should help each other out. Big Show says that he's not going to do that. He doesn't trust her or Booker, so he's just going to fend for himself. Crime Time beat Charlie Austin, Viscera, Kate Murdoch, and the Highlanders in a tornado tag match. Whatever.
We don't need it. Raw's tag.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels backstage trying to vote. He can't quite figure out the computer. Triple H comes up and they start discussing how, you know, Bischoff is the choice for referee that they've kind of done the least damage to, which is fair. You know, Bischoff thinks he's controversial, but he's not. DX is. And Shawn says that they sure are, and super kicks a random guy who ends up being Ty Dillinger. kind of a classic segment there.
Yeah. Because Spears was in their developmental system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff Hardy is in action against either Johnny Nitro, Carlito, or Shelton Benjamin for the Intercontinental title. Carlito got 62% of the vote. Shelton got 25 and Nitro got 13. Did the fans get it right? Yeah, I mean, I guess. It should have been Shelton, but whatever. I prefer Shelton. Shelton's back on Raw now, so.
Prefer Shelton.
You know, yeah.
I kind of agree only because we've seen Nitro and, well, we've seen Carlito in that spot.
Yeah.
I feel like capping him with the IC title at this point is doing him a disservice.
Yeah, that's
fair. He should be a little higher on the card.
They don't really do too many really cool spots, like for a match between these two you think would be.
Yeah.
Jeff just kind of wins with a Swanton. It wasn't very good. Then we go to DX against Rated RKO. Eric Bischoff gets 60% of the vote for special referee. Coach gets 20. Vince gets 20. Did the fans get it right? Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Coach and Vince even got that many votes.
Yeah.
Bischoff is the most intriguing option of the bunch. Coach adds nothing to the broadcast. And Vince is everywhere anyway. Who gives a
crap? Yeah, exactly. Wow. Midway through the match, Edge accidentally spears Bischoff, so Chad Patton comes out as a replacement.
Yes.
And then Bischoff comes back out and pulls Chad Patton out of the ring, watches Randy hit Triple H with a chair and RKO him on the chair, doesn't call for the DQ, and instead counts the pinfall. So once again, really feels like they're setting something up here, and they just never do it. So we're going to have to do some research as to what happened. This was too long as well.
Yeah, it was a little too long.
Edge and Randy come across Lita in the back, and she says she's going to go win the title from Mickey, and she'll see them back at the hotel. Todd Grisham comes up, says that Edge and Randy's victory was tainted, but Randy says it's a new era, Rated RKO. Very good team name.
Very good
team. Wonderful, excellent team name.
Lita defeated Mickey to win the women's championship in a lumberjack match. You know.
We can't even do a, oh, did they get it right? I guess.
Sure.
Whatever.
It's also kind of weird that, you know, I don't know when they knew that Lita's also going to be retiring, but please stop putting the title on people who are just going to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, at least Lita puts Mickey over, which, I mean, Trish shouldn't. The way they did it with Trish was fine.
I mean, like, yeah, but also they embarrassed the crap out of her.
That's the thing, too. We'll get into that. Well, yeah.
I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Ric Flair is in action against the Spirit Squad for the World Tag Team Championship. Roddy Piper gets 46% of the vote. Dusty gets 35. Slaughter gets 19. Did the fans get it right? I would have rather seen Dusty. I think everyone was kind of preparing for Dusty, but people love Roddy Piper, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think the only uninteresting option there is Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's just,
we've seen him wrestle so many
that's
times.
That's exactly it.
Like, at least for Piper, it's been, you know, 3 years since he was really around.
Exactly, yeah. He's always got, he'd always had a big following and a big fan base. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a very good match, but
no.
Flair and Piper. Flair and Piper got the win, and the crowd enjoyed it. And, you know, it's only Roddy's second title that he would hold in WWE. So, you know. Then we move to Booker T against John Cena against The Big Show. But before that, Booker and Cena kind of agree to work together a little bit, at least. You know, smart against The Big Show. The World Heavyweight Championship got 67% of the vote, which not really what I was expecting. Did the fans get it right? Probably.
Yes.
You know, no one cares about the ECW title, and I don't think anyone wanted to see John Cena lose. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, people wanted to see Booker lose. So.
Yeah, people claim that they wanted to see Cena lose or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah, the crowd stuff's not as wide. It's in a few cities, but it's not really widespread.
That's what I was going to point out here. Over the past few weeks, I've noticed, like, yeah, the smarky crowds are always loud and obnoxious towards him, but, like, he's still getting great pops everywhere that he goes. Everywhere else that he goes, I should say.
Exactly.
One face that I did not remember, because I guess I was just feeding into the internet nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not really a reflection of the entire time.
No, exactly. Cena's about to win, and Kevin Federline hits him with the title behind the ref's back, which is no DQ match. You don't have to do that.
Every triple threat is a no DQ match.
Booker hits Cena with the title in the ring behind the ref's back. Once again, it's no DQ match. Booker gets the win, you know, survives once again. Charmelle took an FU like a champ, held her crown so it didn't fall off. That's why she's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Not a good show, but whatever. We're past it.
Exactly. So I guess out of the shit-tastic show, who are we picking?
Rated RKO?
Yeah, I mean, it's either them or Flair and Piper.
Booker, I guess. I think Booker. Booker's up there.
Yeah, Booker, rated RKO, either one.
Booker had a good 2 weeks.
He did. We just
gave I give it a rated RKO, though. Yeah, let's go
to rated RKO. Anything else before we get up out of here? Pretty long show here. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobOneil31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. The BCNet.com. Such a confusing one. It's where you can find all of our stuff, all of our podcasts, all of our written content. Lots of bear stuff, lots of Falcons. I know you're kind of like, whoa, you got Falcon stuff? Yeah, we do. That's how we rock over here at the Barbershare Network. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. Enjoy the wrestling, whatever you got going on in your life coming up this week as we barrel into the holidays. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We will see you guys later.